Oma gyanati mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama shreshtam anum api shachiputra matra swarupam. Rupam tasyagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavartim. Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham. Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tangatos. Vandeham shri guru shri atah parakamalam. Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakarpitamscha Namaste Narasimhaya Prahlada Hlada Dayane Hiranyakashipurva Kshashila Tankana Kalaye Ito nrishinghaf parato nrishimho Yato yato yami tato nrishimha ha Bahi nrishimho hridaye nrishimho Nrishingham adim sharanam prapade Tavakara kamalavarena kamadbhuta shringam Dalita hiranyakashiputanubhringam Keshavadhritta Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Tejas Tejase Aviravi Bhava Vajranaka Vajradangstra Karamashayan randhaya randhaya tamograsa grasa ong svaha abhayam abhayam atmani bhuyashta ong shrom vagi shayasya vadane lakshme yasya chavakshasi yasyaste hridaye sangvit tang narsingham aham bhaje Shri Nrishimha Jai Nrishimha Jai Jai Nrishimha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringha Ugram Viram Mahavishno Jvalantam Sarvato Mukham Nrishingham Vishanam Bhadram Mrityo Mrityo Namamiham Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Text 6. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Ugropyanugra evayang svabhaktanam nrikeshari Keshariva svapotanam anyesham ugra vikramaha. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimhadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Purport. This verse was composed by Sridhar Swami in his commentary on the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. 7.9.1 is the opening verse of that chapter. This Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the chapter 8, is well-known, the Ramananda Samvad, one of the long chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which is given a synopsis of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussions with Ramananda Rai on the bank of the Godavari at Kovur. This verse that we just read comes near the beginning of that chapter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hasn't met Ramananda. It's really a continuation of the topic in the previous chapter, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just entering South India, coming down from Puri on his visit to South India. This is spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his visit to the temple of Lakshmi Varaha Narasimha Swami at Simhachalam, which is situated at the edge of the city Vishakhapatnam in Andhra Pradesh. That's its geographical location as it's understood at the present time. Simhachalam. The Simha means a lion. Achalam, that which doesn't move. A hill. So it's the hill of Nrsimha. This was one of the prayers that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered at that place. And it's a prayer composed by Sridhar Swami, the famous commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, who was a great devotee of Nrsimhadev in particular, because we find throughout his commentary on Bhagavatam, he offered, along with his commentary, he offers prayers to Narasimha Swami, not just in this, say, the ninth chapter of the seventh canto of Bhagavatam is deeply into the narration of Nrsimhadev as given in the Bhagavatam. This chapter begins with the subject of the chapter is Prahlad Maharaj satisfies Lord Nrsimhadev with prayers. So this verse is suitable or captures the essence of this chapter, or a major theme within the chapter, because Nrsimhadev is ferocious, very ferocious. Srila Prabhupada has given the translation here. Very ferocious, fearsome. And what to speak of the demons, even the demigods, they were afraid of him, and they were unable to pacify him, because his anger didn't die down even after killing Hiranyakashipu and the hordes of demoniac soldiers who supported Hiranyakashipu. His anger was still blazing. All the demigods were not able to satisfy Nrsimha in a manner that cooled down his anger, but Prahlad was able to do so. So the example that Sridhar Swami gives is apt to the topic of the chapter. The demigods are also devotees of the Supreme Lord, but being persecuted by Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad, it was particularly for him that Nrsimhadev came, and it shows how Nrsimha, his pure devotee, Prahlad, Krishna Graha Grasta, he's as if haunted by the planetary influence of Krishna. Prahlad is most dear to him, most dear to Nrsimha, more than the demigods, because Prahlad is a pure devotee of Krishna. He's not a Sakam Bhakta. He doesn't have personal desires in his worship. Now, if I'm not in Mayapur on this day of Nrsimha Chaturdashi, which I'm not this year, most years I haven't been, but naturally, although our thoughts naturally go to Mayapur regularly, but especially on this day, and on this day, maybe not thinking so much about Gaurhari in his original form, or Radha Madhava in their beautiful forms, standing on the altar there, but particularly to our Nrisimhadev, ISKCON's Nrisimhadev. ISKCON was already there on the altars of all the temples throughout ISKCON, and he appeared in a very peaceful looking form in Germany, but this Nrisimha appeared in Mayapur, the spiritual capital of the whole world and the capital of the whole universe, and the capital, the world headquarters of ISKCON. This deity of Nrisimhadev seems to be, it might seem to someone who's not familiar with quote-unquote Hindu culture, seems to be out of sync with Radha Madhava, who is standing so beautifully on the altar, exquisite beauty, kindness, sweetness are clearly manifest in Radha Madhava and their attendant Ashta Sakhis. Nrisimhadev is a very, very, very different mood. And for someone who's not familiar, just like a Westerner may come, someone who's not familiar with what we may call Hindu culture, and they may be very surprised. Clearly, what we have here, Nrisimhadev, is very beautiful. The artisan who sculpted the deity was Nrisimha, entered into him, no doubt. It's not possible to carve deities in a manner in which the Lord manifests himself without the Lord's grace. He wants to manifest to his devotees, so he inspires the Shilpi, or the sculptor in this, to manifest him. It's not just you pick up any stone anywhere and you just according to your own fancy some avant-garde style. There's no avant-garde style of carving deities, not according to the authorized system. The right stone has to be found, the stone in which the Lord is already present, just waiting to appear. He appeared from a pillar, appeared from a stone, he appears from a stone again and again when his devotee, when he wants to manifest for the sake of protecting his devotees and giving favor to his devotees. So the right stone has to be found, and that can't be found by anyone, only qualified people. Not Hiranyakashipu, he couldn't find Nrisimha. He didn't even believe he existed. Prahlad, he knew. Is this the right stone? Is he here in this pillar? Yes. Prahlad knew. He is there. And then exactly the form has to be carved according to what is given in Shastra. But it's not anyone can do that. So you can call some expert sculptor in modern style. They cannot carve deities. They can make a show, but the Lord reveals himself to those who he wishes to reveal himself. And then, having revealed himself to the sculptor, then he reveals himself to all the devotees who come for his darshan, and so many thousands every day coming to Mayapur, and they all get the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivrinda, we don't see all the Bhaktivrinda of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we don't see Rupa Sanatan, but we see all the devotees in Mayapur who have dedicated their lives for serving Krishna. Then they see Radha Madhava, the impression goes in their eyes, and the Ashtasakhi. That's not equivalent to Mother Yashoda seeing Krishna. It's not the Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochan. It's not fully manifest, the eye, seeing with the eye of love. But whatever faith they have, or even without faith, generally people have some faith, otherwise they wouldn't go. Then that much Krishna reciprocates, and more, because if we take one step toward Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards us, or more. And then Prahlad Narasimha. They see the deity of Prahlad Narasimha. For someone who is raised in Hindu culture, they don't have a problem with this, because everything, all aspects of reality are encompassed within reality. Hindu culture means it's predicated on Sanatan Dharma, which is harmonization with everything, reality. So everything is there. And we don't say only that God is very kind. Yes, he's very kind, but we don't say he can't be violent or angry. Call to mind once I had an argument with a Christian on a train from Hyderabad to Mumbai, and he's saying, "Oh, your Krishna is killing so many, and our Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He brings people back to life." And saying, "Well, he kills everyone. God kills everyone. Whether Krishna kills demons or directly by his hand, he kills everyone." You're like, no, God doesn't care. But actually, he kills everyone ultimately. He is birth and he is death. He is Udbhava, coming into being, and he is Mrityu, he is death also. Krishna is everything. So that's accepted in Hindu culture. And there are violent deities. Kali is very famous as a violent deity. Nrsimhadev, most of the temples of Nrsimha, there are many all over India, especially in South India. Mostly they are not such ugra forms. They're not so violent. They're not showing his mood of manifest anger. They're mostly more peaceful forms. But in Mayapur, and that's another long story, why particularly this form was invited. If a Westerner comes, or someone unfamiliar with this culture, and they may be shocked if we go to the temple there in Mayapur and go for darshan of Prahlad Narasimha, and how you feel he's ready to jump out at you. His eyes piercing. He's so angry. It's manifest. You can feel his anger. But for the devotees, they're not disturbed by that, because they know the anger is for Hiranyakashipu and the descendants of Hiranyakashipu, apart from Prahlad. The devotees, they feel very sheltered by that anger. But he's angry. He's really angry. His eyes, just his eyes alone could give you nightmares if you're here at Hiranyakashipu. Nightmares, yeah, I was saying the Hindus, they can accept all these. They know Nrsimha, or even if they may not be familiar with all the stories, but Nrsimha's there in Indian culture, Vedic culture, since time immemorial. Sometimes Mother Yashoda would tell Krishna bedtime stories. What? I'll tell you a story, bedtime story, about Narasimha. A nice story, huh? You could, the child can sleep peacefully. Actually, Krishna's very happy to hear when he hears how Nrisimha captures Hiranyakashipu. Krishna smiles. So it's going on since time immemorial. People know he's there. He's part of the. There's Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Uma Shankar, and so many. Shachi Devendra, there are so many. There's Narasimha. Generally, he's with Lakshmi. Lakshmi Narasimha in the deities that we see. But here in Mayapur, he's with Prahlada. He's fierce, very, very fierce. Not the kind of scene you'd want to show a little five-year-old boy. It's an X-rated movie. I don't know if they still have, but they used to have X-rated movies for kids only. Sorry, not for kids at all, for adults only. Kids are not allowed to go because too frightening. What do you have in the X-rated movie with when there's a lot of violence or when there's a lot of sex? So a lot of violence, a traumatic experience. Can you imagine your father being killed in front of you and you'll be traumatized for your whole life? Not Prahlad. Very peaceful and happy. Prahlada, Lada Day. Nrisimha is called, we praise him every day, by he who gives happiness to Prahlad. Prahlad is very happy to see this. Talking about Nrisimha, his anger, his angry form. He's so angry. Although he appears to be a deity in a particular space, and even as deities goes, he's rather large, but is in a particular space, but we can almost sense how he's much bigger. He has a huge form. And his powerful arms, just showing eight arms, but they're so unlimited arms, and they're all his anger is going, it's just like an electric current, and he's just ready to rip apart that Hiranyakashipu. What anger, and there's snakes coming up behind him. Like I say, some Westerner who comes and they may see Radha Madhav, okay, all right. And they may be, all right, peaceful, nice, beautiful. But what is this? Blood. There'll be Abhishek today in Mayapur. I mean, daily there is, but there'll be public Maha Abhishekam with so many substances, ghee and yogurt and milk and cow urine and fruit juices and water, of course, and so many substances. But original time, there was the Charanamrita from Nrisimhadev flows. It's arranged in all temples. We'll find in South India there's arrangement so that the Abhishek water can flow out, because otherwise it would flood the temple. So it flows, the Charanamrita, but when, at that time when Nrisimha killed Hiranyakashipu, there was flow of blood. Blood flowing everywhere. And then he killed all the demons also. So much blood. Blood everywhere. It's horrific. Bibhatsa rasa. The ghastly rasa. It's also, that's why people like horror movies. It's a horror movie, but we're not horrified because we're on the side of the killer. You might say, well, then a mercy for Hiranyakashipu? No mercy. There's a time for mercy and there's a time for punishment. There was the time for punishment. There comes a time when enough is enough. Bibhatsa, one of the names of Arjuna. T terrible in battle. There was a time for peace negotiations with the Kauravas, and then enough is enough. Now kill them all. This is reality. Blood everywhere. Lion. What kind of form is this? That's what Hiranyakashipu was thinking. What is this? Lion? Is he a lion? Is he a man? What is going on? And people come to our temples in the West, our Hare Krishna temple, and they're nice, you know, vegetarians, flowers, incense. And what is this? What is this? Big picture of Narasimha on the wall. What is this? What has this got to do with anything religious? Religion means peace and calm. And what is going on? We preach Hare Krishna, religion of love. Love? Where does Nrsimha fit in? Where's the love? How can you love someone who's best known for ripping others to pieces? Is there any love there? Then we go back. Ugro pyanugra evayam svabhaktanam rikeshari keshariva svapotanam anyesham ugravikramaha. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsimhadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Nrsimhadev is one of the most loved forms of the Lord. As I say, there are many temples here in South India. He's very special to the Gauriya Vaishnavas because he helps all Vaishnavas, because he helps to remove the material desires from our hearts. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Nrsimha in Navadvip Dham gives Krishna prema. Very, very special to the Gauriyas. Loved by them. Prahlad loves Nrsimha. We love Nrsimha. We love Krishna means we love Nrsimha. We love Krishna. He's sweet, he's mild, he's kind, he's gentle, he's joking, he plays his flute, he dresses very beautifully. We love Nrsimha. Blood. Violence. Vajranaka, Vajradangstra. His nails like thunderbolts, teeth like thunderbolts. Yes. This is the Lord we love. He's also Krishna. Drama, yeah. There's dramatic. The dramatic story of Lord Nrsimha. Recorded in Bhagavatam and elsewhere in Shastra also. Nrsimha Purana and elsewhere. Now, people may not believe, what is this kind of story? Hiranyakashipu, he performed terrible austerities for 100 years. Wait a minute. People don't live that long. By the way, it was 100 years of the demigods, which is 36,000 years by human calculation. And people, they may not believe this, I don't believe. But there was in another age. Now in Kali Yuga, so many things are described in Shastra. Demigods coming, demigods with, and demons also with more than one head, more than two arms. So many things. In Kali Yuga, all the charm is gone, and we're not privy by direct sensual experience to so many aspects of reality. We're only left with a very small spectrum of what's going on in the universe. We can learn from Shastra. Otherwise, we think that this world is just what is accessible to our senses, and we develop science and think now we know so much, but we don't know anything about the dimensions beyond our tiny little frog in a well. We don't know. And therefore we disbelieve. Rascals, they disbelieve. The modern day representatives of Hiranyakashipu, they disbelieve. But Hiranyakashipu, as described in Bhagavata, performed austerities for 36,000 years because he wanted to become immortal, which means he was intelligent in one way and damn stupid in another way. The desire to become immortal is natural because by nature, by constitution, we're all immortal. But he was a fool and a rascal, as are so many highly accomplished people in this world. They may be very intelligent and also be a fool, inasmuch as they apply their intelligence to wanting to enjoy this material world. Real intelligence begins when we start to see how miserable this material world is. So Hiranyakashipu, he was in the great illusion. Oh, what was that big illusion? What was it? It's the same illusion as everyone else, that this world is a nice place for us to enjoy. And then the question comes, well, why am I suffering? And then what's the answer? Because I don't have enough. I don't have enough of this and that. And if I got everything in the universe and I could dominate the universe and everyone just did what I say, then everything would be nice. Most of us aren't as ambitious as Hiranyakashipu. We just try to dominate within our own little sphere, try to organize things so we can be happy and forget that we have to die. But Hiranyakashipu, he was more thoughtful. And he thought, well, yeah, I can get power and wealth and money and women and wine and jewels and properties and so on. And then I have to die. So that kind of spoils everything, doesn't it? Okay, what do I do? I become immortal. How do I become immortal? What do I have to do to become immortal? Then he was an atheist, obviously. He believed in material happiness. Fool. It would be laughable if it wasn't tragic. You don't know whether to laugh or cry. You can laugh and cry. Srila Prabhupada sometimes laughed at the foolishness of the materialists, but basically he was full of compassion for their ridiculous and lamentable position. So Hiranyakashipu, his very name means gold and bed. What is that? Kanakakamani. Gold or wealth and women. Bed means they want to enjoy with a beautiful woman on the bed. So his very name embodied the what is considered the epitome of material enjoyment. Wealth and women. That's what he wanted. That's what he lived for. So he thought, okay, well, I can get a little wealth. 1, 2, 3, maybe more wives. But he wanted to enjoy the whole universe, undisturbed, atheist, not understanding that Krishna's in control of everything. He wanted to be in control of everything. But he wanted to get immortality because he thought, then what's the use? Unless I get everything, then I have to lose it all by death. Mrityu sarvaharashchaham, Krishna says, in the form of death, I take everything away. So Hiranyakashipu made a plan to become immortal. So what should he do now? How are you going to become immortal? Try some special herbs. He didn't do that. There are various ways you could try to think of becoming immortal. But Hiranyakashipu, he did it. He did things the Vedic way. Demons, they can also be very Vedic, if you like. He went to perform austerities to get power and performed austerities for the sake of propitiating Lord Brahma, who he knew was the most powerful demigod in the universe, and he wanted to get from Lord Brahma the benediction that he could become immortal. So he did terrible austerities, standing on the tips of the toes for such a long time. It's very difficult to do that, even for a short time. His body was in one place, and ants built an ant hill. His body became eaten up by ants and rotted away. But as a powerful yogi, not every yogi is a saintly person, as a powerful yogi, he maintained his life within his bones only, and by the power of his terrible austerities, the whole universe became dark and smoky, and it seemed to disturb the whole universe. The demigods went to Lord Brahma and said, "Hey, but you better do something. We have a big problem here." Generally, the demigods don't go to Lord Brahma. They go to Indra when they have a problem. When Indra can't solve it, he might go to Shiva or Brahma. This time they went to, if they're really smart, they go to Vishnu. But it wasn't quite time for that. So they went to Brahma. So Brahma came and said, "Hey, what's going on? What do you want? You've done big austerities for such a long time. Obviously you want something. Okay, I'm pleased with your austerities. What do you want? Pleased with your austerities means speaking diplomatically to a big demon. What do you want? Do you want some benediction? Okay, I'd better give it to you, and at least that will solve the immediate problem." Brahma didn't say all these things. So Hiranyakashipu said, "I want to be immortal." And Brahma said, "Well, sorry, try another benediction. I can't give that to you because I'm not immortal myself." So Hiranyakashipu, 36,000 years ago. I did it all, and now I can't get it. What am I going to do? Quick calculation. And then he said, "Okay. Let it be that I might not die. I might not be killed or die. And I'm not killed by any weapon. Not die indoors or outdoors. Not in the daytime or in the night. Not in the land or in the air or in the water, presumably. Not by any beast or human being. Not by any living or non-living entity." So, and then Lord Brahma can give the benediction. "Okay, you won't die in the land, on the land." "Okay, all right. Give me a benediction, I won't die in the water." "Okay, give me a benediction, I won't die in the air." "Okay." So you can give one by one these benedictions, but he can't give immortality. So Hiranyakashipu, very smart, thought, okay, these are all the conditions in which you can die. So he put all those together, and then I won't die. So in a roundabout way, Hiranyakashipu got his benediction, his boon. I will not die. Now I am immortal. And Lord Brahma also restored Hiranyakashipu's body back to full strength. And Hiranyakashipu wanted to enjoy this world, but he also had a big, big chip on his shoulder. He had a major grudge about Vishnu. He hated Vishnu. And demons, they hate Vishnu. It's Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asuras tadviparyaya. Just as godly people are defined by their devotion to Vishnu. The demons are defined by having the opposite mentality. But Hiranyakashipu had special reason for hating Vishnu. Special reason in as much as Vishnu was the family's number one enemy. It was a family vendetta as far as Hiranyakashipu was concerned, because Vishnu, in the form of Varaha, had killed Hiranyakashipu's younger brother, Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to take revenge. Okay, now I'm so powerful, no one can kill me, so let me find that Vishnu and kill him. So he went all over the universe looking for Vishnu. When he conquered all the demigods, that was part of his plan anyway. Demigods, he couldn't do anything. Woo! Hiranyakashipu is coming. Run away! That was part of his plan. He wanted to get all these benedictions that he was immortal, and then he could dominate the whole universe, which means conquering the demigods. He defeated all the rulers of each planet. He upset the whole universal order, because someone becomes a demigod by pious activities. But here's Hiranyakashipu, completely impious, but he's taking their role and their position. Demigods have different roles in the administration of the universe, the administration of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Hiranyakashipu took it all over himself. He did it by his own power. He was so powerful. But he was nasty, nasty, not a good king. Not the kind of king that you could love. You fear, but not the kind of king you could love. In this world, there are tyrannical despots, but then none as bad as, no one nearly as bad or nearly as powerful as Hiranyakashipu. He was making life miserable and painful for everyone except those who cooperated with him, and even those who cooperated with him were afraid of him. So people privately, they prayed to Krishna for relief. Privately means they couldn't openly do it. Now, Hiranyakashipu, despite being such a nasty person, he displayed affection to his family members. We heard how the lioness is ferocious, but she loves her, she's very kind to her cubs. This example is given in relation to Nrisimhadev. He's very ferocious, but he loves his devotees. But Hiranyakashipu had affection, or at least superficial affection, for his family members. He had four sons, Ahlad, Sanglad, Anulad, and Prahlad. Prahlad was the youngest of them. And Prahlad was very special. We hear his name among the four sons. He was very special in as much as what had happened. His mother was already pregnant when Hiranyakashipu went away to perform austerities. And the demigods thought, well, Hiranyakashipu is away, but there's another facsimile coming up in the womb of his wife, Kayadhu. So they thought, well, let's capture his wife. And they didn't want to do an abortion, but they weren't going to do that. They thought you could, but they thought, let the child be delivered, then we'll kill the child. Because it's going to be a big demon. He's already got one big problem. We don't need another one. The other sons are there, but at least we can get this one. But Narad Muni came and told them, leave the poor woman alone. You don't know that within the womb is a great devotee. And demigods hearing this had great faith in Devarshi, the sage among the demigods, Narada, and circumambulated that woman because they heard a great devotee is within the womb. And then Narad Muni took Kayadhu to his ashram and protected her there in case anyone else had any other idea to change their mind about Prahlad. And he instructed her in spiritual knowledge. That's what sadhus do. She didn't remember because, as Prahlad later said, because she was a woman and less intelligent, she didn't remember. But I within the womb heard everything. And this is how Prahlad became a great devotee and very deep in spiritual knowledge by hearing within the womb from Narad Muni. And he was Mahabhagavato Mahan. He was great even among great devotees. His love for Krishna was so great, his character, ideal. Even as a child, he had no attachment for playing games. Rather, he would, when his friends would call him, his schoolmates would call him to play, he would instruct them about the purpose of life, about Krishna consciousness. He was the polar opposite to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was as bad as they come, or worse than we can practically even imagine. And Prahlad was just the opposite. He was just so full of good qualities. Hiranyakashipu, at least superficially, loved Prahlad. He was a very beautiful boy, very mild by nature, very obedient in his mannerisms, his demeanor. However, when Prahlad guilelessly tried to instruct Hiranyakashipu about devotional service, the love of Hiranyakashipu changed. Oh, then, then he became upset. At first he thought it was just some mistake. Something went wrong. Okay, told the teachers, you rectify him. But they weren't able to rectify him. He was completely attached to Krishna. And there was no way he could be reprogrammed. And Hiranyakashipu became so upset with Prahlad, because Prahlad told him openly, we can find the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, you should give up all this grihamandakupam, this family life which is like a blind well, vanangato, you should go to the forest, yadharim ashrayeta, and that Hari, Krishna, used to take shelter of him, which Hiranyakashipu was naturally angry. His whole personality was full of it's always burning. I think Nrisimha was angry, but up until that time, Hiranyakashipu was considered to be the ultimate limit of anger. He was naturally angry. And then when someone starts to instruct him to surrender to Hari and give up all that he had endeavored for, even though it was his son, he became angry. And he became so angry. We could see his love for Prahlad, not really love, because being unable to correct him from Hiranyakashipu's point of view, then Hiranyakashipu ordered kill him, ordered his servants. kill him, kill him. He could have killed him himself, theoretically. He'd killed so many. Killing was just part of his day-to-day life. But he couldn't bring himself to directly, personally, kill Prahlad. He may be also a little bit worried about his reputation. We see Kamsa was worried about his reputation. That's one of the arguments that Vasudev used to restrain Kamsa from killing Devaki at the time of her marriage. So how do you kill? You can get a manual how to kill someone. There's so many different ways you can kill people. So they tried in different ways to kill Prahlad by having him trampled under elephants. That's not a very common way of killing someone nowadays. Nowadays, I suppose it's mostly by guns, by technological means. Throwing under the infuriated elephants, throwing in a pit of poisonous snakes, throwing from a great height, administering poison. Nothing worked. You couldn't kill him. Just couldn't kill him. Didn't work. He remained unhurt and undisturbed. You may say traumatic childhood, but Prahlad. Prahlad means always happy. Naivodvijay paradriyatarya vaitaranya stvadvirya tadvirya magna tadvirya gayana mahamrita magnachitam. Mahamrita magnachitam. This material world is very dangerous and very bad, Prahlad would later say, but I am simply happy, absorbed in glorifying your great qualities, he said to. Later, he said. So Prahlad is always happy. Being thrown off the cliff, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Given poison food to eat, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hiranyakashipu was dumbfounded. What's going on? What is going on? I'm immortal. I did such austerities. He didn't do any austerities. And I didn't convey my boon to him. How is he able to withstand? If I can understand that no one can kill me, but how is it that no one can kill him? I went through so much difficulty to get this boon, so, and I got this power. Where do you get your power from, Prahlad? He asked. So Prahlad honestly answered and said that, well, I get my power where you get it from the supreme power, Vishnu. My dear father, Prahlad told him, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy in this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one comes to the platform of worshipping God perfectly. Yeah, words which should... You know what Prahlad is saying? Just cool down. There's no need to be so angry and upset. Think of enemies. Just be cool, peaceful, like himself, like Prahlad. But the result was Hiranyakashipu became, it didn't seem possible, but he became even more angry on hearing this. How is it possible he could become more angry? But he did. His anger, he himself didn't know how angry he could become. His little boy is making him so angry. If Naturally, if a little boy has misbehaved, the parents, out of parental affection, may become angry. But this kind of anger is not meant for a little boy. He's more angry with Prahlad than he is with a real enemy like Indra, or someone who could, at least theoretically, someone who's powerful. But he's a little boy. He's so angry. Then Hiranyakashipu, typical atheistic comment, which atheists up to the present day say this kind of thing. If God is everywhere, is he in my pocket? Hiranyakashipu said to Prahlad, if your God is everywhere, Vishnu is everywhere, is he in this pillar? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see it. Hiranyakashipu. So we can say Nrsimha came because Hiranyakashipu said, I want to see it. I want to see your God come out from the pillar. So why did Nrsimha come? One of the reasons we can say, because Hiranyakashipu said, I want to see him. Generally, the atheists, they say, show me God. You better be careful if he shows himself to you, because if he shows himself to an atheist, it's not going to be in his form of Vrajendra Nandana, the darling child of Mother Yashoda. It's going to be, they'll see, Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham. They'll see him in the form of death, taking everything away. So then, Hiranyakashipu, in anger, you do stupid things, striking the pillar with his fist, which was calculated to smash the pillar. Stupid thing, in as much as, well, I guess he couldn't get an X-ray, and they didn't have X-ray machines in those days to look to see what's inside the pillar. So he wanted to demonstrate there's nothing in the pillar but stone. Ah, he was wrong. This was the biggest shock for him in his life. Something he could not have imagined happening. Just like the demigods couldn't imagine Hiranyakashipu taking them over, became a reality. So he couldn't imagine, but it happened. How? Out of the pillar. What happened? He struck the pillar. Then there was a great roaring sound which reverberated throughout the universe, making everyone feel afraid. And the pillar just burst to pieces with great force. And then there was a huge form of Nrsimha manifest, lighting up the whole assembly hall. Hiranyakashipu was there with his ministers, his cohorts. All of a sudden, there's this huge form of Nrsimha, and he's angry. Actually, we have, in Sanskrit, there are different words for anger, as in other languages also. We have anger, rage, fury, wrath, and other words in English. So in Sanskrit also, we have rosh, loving anger. Kopam. Krodh is a general term, as in English. So kop means intense anger, but there's no real word to describe how angry Nrsimha is. That's why in Shastra it's avang manasa gochara, cannot be described by words, cannot be the supreme, cannot be described by words, and cannot be conceived by the mind. Now that doesn't mean then that he's totally indescribable, just that words and our mental concepts, they do not reach up. They don't they can't, within our mental concepts, we can't capture the greatness of who is God. Not that there are no words to describe him, but that our ability to conceptualize, to understand, to realize his greatness is limited. So here he is. And he's angry. Those angry eyes were looking at Hiranyakashipu. But Hiranyakashipu is a fool. He's a fool. And he thinks, oh, an enemy's come, I'll defeat him. I defeated so many enemies before. He actually thought he could defeat Nrisimha. Obviously, Nrisimha was angry at him. Obviously, this is Vishnu, because he said, I want to see Vishnu. And then Prahlad said, when he was asked, is he in the pillar? Hiranyakashipu asked, yes, he's in the pillar. So Vishnu manifested, it's Vishnu. And he hates Vishnu. Hates Vishnu. So his anger, it was both of them were so extremely angry, but Hiranyakashipu thought he could defeat Vishnu. So he fought with him. And the Lord appears also, it's a kind of pleasure for him to fight. So he could have just like previously, Varaha had killed his brother. After fighting for some time, just nonchalantly, with one blow of his hoof, killed him after so much fighting. So Nrisimha could have just killed him outright very easily, but he had a good fight. And it went on for quite some time until eventually, we all know the story very well. The story means the history, how he pulled him, Nrisimha grabbed Hiranyakashipu, the Lord sat down with Hiranyakashipu firmly captured on the waist, on the lap of Narasimha, and ripped him apart. Nrisimha ripped him apart and ripped open his abdomen and then took his intestines as a garland. Bloody, gory. Hiranyakashipu, I'm immortal, right? Inasmuch as I can't be killed by a man or a beast. Well, you can't say that. Of course, Vishnu is always transcendental to the position of a man or a beast, even when he takes birth in the forms of a man or a beast. But he can't be said to be a man because he's half lion, and can't be said to be a beast because he's half man, if you differentiate between man and beast. He wasn't killed inside or outside because he was killed on the veranda of the assembly hall, which is not really inside and is not really outside. He wasn't killed in day or night, but in the dusk time, which cannot be said to be fully day, nor at night. That's why we fast until dusk. We're waiting for Nrisimhadev to appear. On this day we fast till dusk. So all the boons that had been offered, not killed by any weapon, but not killed, the nails, my nails are a bit dirty, using mud daily. The nails of Hiranyakashipu, they're not specifically designated as a weapon. They're not a bow or a sword or a mace or a military drone or any such thing. They are, they're used as a weapon by lions, but and other ferocious animals, but they're not part of the standard armory, either ancient and traditional or modern. In this way, Krishna kept the word of Brahma intact. He didn't have to, but he likes to. And it's fun also to he likes to uphold the word of his devotees, and it was fun also to outwit the super smart, over intelligent Hiranyakashipu and uphold all the promises and still show that Hiranyakashipu is subject to he couldn't escape the jurisdiction of the laws of nature or the laws of God. Everyone has to die. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu. And Krishna didn't want to say when he says Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu, everyone is born has to die except Hiranyakashipu. No. Then what happened? Okay, it's all over. No, it's not all over. Nrisimha's still angry. And everyone was afraid. Including all the demigods, they weren't quite sure. But, he's so angry. What is that? Krodba kiba nakori. Narottam. This is a common thing. That in anger, what can you not do? In krodhat bhavati sammoha. By anger, one becomes bewildered, and you can do things which later you regret. You don't act in a stable, balanced way, so the demigods are afraid he might kill us also. But Prahlad, among all those present, was not afraid. And he approached Nrisimha with a beautiful garland of flowers. You have a garland of intestines? All right, take the garland of flowers also. And Nrisimha was very pleased with this little boy, Prahlad, and he wanted to award the boy. What do you want? I can give you boons. And Prahlad says, please don't tempt me with boons. I didn't worship you like a merchant. Like my father, he did some austerities because he wanted to get something. And so many people worship God with the idea, I'll worship him, he'll give me something. But Prahlad said, I'm not in that merchant, not in that business mentality, that I do something for you because I want to get something back. I just worship you for love. So don't offer me any material benediction. I saw my father had all the material benedictions for every god, everything, and he wasn't happy. What's the use of giving this to me? Just I want to be known as your servant, that's all. But Nrisimha, he wanted to give a boon and to Prahlad, and Prahlad then thought that, all right, you please deliver Hiranyakashipu. Otherwise, Hiranyakashipu, after performing so many sinful activities, what would be his destination? Now, of course, he was killed by Vishnu, and of course, it's all part of the Leela of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya. But Prahlad wanted to make sure, you please deliver him from the cycle of birth and death. Took a little more time because still there had to be Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dantavakra. But the Supreme Lord, Narasimhadev, gave his assurance that Prahlad, due to your devotion, even without asking, someone who's such a great devotee, because you were born in this family, the entire family, 21 forefathers in your dynasty, they're all purified. Not just you, even though they may be very demoniac. Nrisimha told him, my dear Prahlad, I'm reading Prabhupada's translation again. My dear Prahlad, O pure one, O great saintly person, your father has been purified along with 21 forefathers in your family. because you were born in this family, the entire dynasty has been purified. Whenever and wherever there are peaceful, equipoised devotees who are well-behaved and decorated with all good qualities, that place and the dynasties there, even if condemned, are purified. So that's the end of the story. Well, in one sense, yeah, but the competition, the tension between godly and ungodly people continues and will continue. That's the nature of this material world. A devotee is assailed from outside by materialistic people and assailed from inside by his own demoniac desires. So we pray to Narasimha, protect us from the demons outside and inside. We have to preach Krishna consciousness. Many people don't like it. Prahlad preached Krishna consciousness to his father, who was a demon. He didn't like it. The demon Hiranyakashipu wanted to punish Prahlad. So in the same way, if we try to preach Krishna consciousness, people will want to punish, harass, torture, crucify in various ways. They will express their displeasure in the nastiest of ways. But devotees, they rely on the protection of Lord Narasimha. And within Karma Shayan, the reservoir, repository of material desires. So we pray to Narasimha, please appear in my heart and destroy all those nasty desires so that we may be your worthy servants. We pray for the mercy of Prahlad, pray for the mercy of Narasimha. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada states that if the Krishna conscious movement can get the benediction of Prahlad and Narasimha, it will be very successful. So let us pray for the benediction of Prahlad and Narasimha. Srila Prabhupada, also writing a letter to one of his disciples, said that just as a lion gives birth to lions, citing the example of this Prahlad, he was just like a great devotee. He was like a better lion in some ways because he roams the world, Prahlad. He stays in the world better than an ordinary lion. The lion is a very noble creature, but this lion heart, Prahlad, he delivers Krishna consciousness. So we should all become descendants of the great lion-like acharyas like Srila Prabhupada. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was known as Acharya Kesari, an acharya, just like a lion in his ripping to shreds all the wrong ideas of non-devotees. Let us pray for their mercy on this day, that we may become pleasing to Narasimha, in the same way that Prahlad is pleasing, by being a pure devotee. And may the Hiranyakashipu aspect within our heart, let it all be cleared out. This is our prayer to Nrsimhadev and his lion-like devotees on this day. Namaste Narasimhaya Prahlada Lada Daini Hiranyakashipur Vaksha Shilar Tankanakalaya Ito Nrsimh Hafparato Nrsimho Yato Yato Yami Tato Nrsimhaha Bahi Nrsimho Hridaye Nrsimho Nrsimham Adim Sharanam Prapade Tavakara Kamalavarena Kamadbhuta Shringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Bringham Keshavadhritta Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Vancha kalpata rupyas chakripasana. Patita nam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha.